We welcome you to the afternoon service, preaching service of Grace Baptist Church, Melbourne, Florida. Hopefully we won't have the problems with this broadcast that we had this morning. For some reason, we recorded to my personal page rather than the church's page, and that created some confusion and problems for some, as it was. And hopefully that's all worked out and everybody will be able to check in and listen this afternoon. Before we get started, we do want to share some prayer requests. Of course, we want to be praying for our country in this time of this pandemic, this virus that has afflicted so many and seems to be on a large increase here in Florida. And that's why we've canceled the services and just to safeguard the health and of our members and of our community as well. We pray that through this ministry that many would come to Christ. Many possibly will see and hear that would normally be present to a regular church worship service. So pray that the Lord will use that to draw His people to Himself. But then we have another request, and that is for a preacher brother, Brother Wilbert Ellis, had went in Friday for emergency surgery, had a blood clot in his spine and wasn't able to walk, and that was about 7 inches long. The doctors were able to remove most of that, and he should be getting feeling back and being able to walk. But problem is he developed pneumonia in one of his lungs and is in the hospital in intensive care unit. So we do want to remember Brother Ellis in our prayers, as well as the others that are on our prayer list here at Grace Baptist Church. Let us go to the Lord in a word of prayer before we open the scriptures. Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this privilege to come to you in prayer, thanking you for your great grace and mercy that has been manifested to us. Your mercies are new every day. They're always with us, because we are always in need, dear Heavenly Father. But today we think of our country and we think of the sickness with which you have afflicted this country. In some ways we feel it's a judgment upon the sins of our nation and your people included. And we pray to Heavenly Father that you would be merciful and that you would stay it, and that you would heal those that have been afflicted. But most of all, dear Heavenly Father, we pray for their spiritual condition, especially those that will be listening to live broadcast of your churches that wouldn't normally hear the preached word. Pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would use it to your honor and glory, that it might bring about the salvation of the lost. Pray for Brother Ellis. Our hearts were burdened hard when we heard of his pneumonia. But there again, we know that you have permitted it for a reason. But we also know that you are the great physician. So we commit him into your care today and ask that you would be pleased to heal his body, to return him to service of the Grace Baptist Church there in Florence, Kentucky, as well as the printing ministry under the arm of that church. Been a blessing to so many missionaries and churches, ours included. Pray you be with the preaching of your word this afternoon. Use it to instruct your people and to save the lost. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians in chapter 4. Book of Ephesians in chapter 4. And we are ready for verse 13 today. But to get you caught up to speed, in this chapter we're told that unto every one of us, church members, he gave gifts, gave grace, gave gifts. Verse 11, and to some he has set apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors in his church. And it was for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The duration of these gifts. This is a point that we come to that is dealing with the duration of these gifts. How long? Till when are these gifts given? For how long will they be in his body, in the church? Well, we know that some have passed on, are no longer in his church today. Apostles and prophets, but we still have evangelists and we still have pastors. But what about the membership? What about the gifts that he's given to the membership for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ? How long? How long will they be there? So we're dealing with the duration of these gifts and this work that is before us. The word come here means to arrive at. A church that is walking worthy of the vocation wherewith they are called. A church that is walking in humility, and that is each member walking in humility and meekness, gentleness of spirit, with long suffering and forbearing one another in love, laboring and working diligently to promote the unity of the spirit in the body of Christ. They will be desiring to arrive unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I remind you that reaching the goal is set before as the responsibility of each and every church member. It's not just the responsibility of the pastor, is not just the responsibility of the evangelist. It's Grace Baptist Church is gifted to have two men that serve in evangelist type ministries. But it's not just their responsibility, it's the responsibility of each and every member of the body of Christ. The body of Christ, Grace Baptist Church, Melbourne, Florida. We are to be using the measure of the gift of Christ that he gave us according to verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That is, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Think about that phrase for just a minute. Unity of the faith, the faith. Verse 3 says that we're to be endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Well, the unity of the Spirit, we say, the Spirit only leads in unity. The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God doesn't lead in disunity. And we see that the unity of the faith is the unity of the Spirit. Verse 5 says, there are one Lord, one faith. There is one faith by which we members of the Grace Baptist Church have come to Christ Jesus. We're in Christ Jesus. Not by faith. It's saving faith. It's a faith which is not of our own. It's a faith which is given to us by God. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 tell us that it's a gift. It's the grace of God to us. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, this faith is the faith that he's talking about. And that faith is unity. It's common. It's ordinary to each one that are members of the Grace Baptist Church. We're all saved by that faith. If we don't have that faith, we're not saved. We're not born again. The unity of faith is that one faith which unifies. I have it. You have it. You have it. Because I have it and you have the same faith, that's a reason for unity. You see, Christ is not divided. We ought to be in unity. Because there is one faith. We all ought to be in unity, one with another. Look with me at a passage in the book of Titus. Titus in chapter 1, in verse 1, we read, Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. God's elect. It is the faith of all God's elect. All God's elect have this faith. They have this true faith. You see, it is common. It is ordinary to all that are in Christ Jesus, to all that are God's. And Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6 tells us what? It tells us this faith which worketh by love. This faith of God's elect, this faith which promotes unity in the body of Christ, this faith, it works, and it works by love. That is, we manifest our faith by our love, by our works, our love to God, and our love toward the brethren and towards those that are without, our fellow man as well. And it is that faith which is to be preached, and only that faith which is to be preached. And the one doctrine of faith that is to be the same in all the Lord's churches. Thereby we can ascertain whether they are a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And notice something that the Corinthian church was told. In chapter 11, in verse 4, he says, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom ye have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted," he says, ye might well bear with him. He was afraid that they might be led astray by those who were preaching another gospel, preaching another spirit, preaching another Jesus than that by which they had come to in faith in Christ Jesus, which is a faith that is given by God. We already covered that. It is the gift of God. He was afraid that they might be deceived, be led astray. So it is in a sense, an admonishment to beware. To beware of those who preach another Jesus. To beware of those who preach another spirit. The spirit doesn't magnify itself. The spirit magnifies Christ. To beware of those that preach another gospel. So we're told, turn with me to the book of Galatians. Another well-used passage of Scripture. But Galatians chapter 1. And verses 6 and 7. The churches of Galatia were told us, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." You got to understand the setting here. What was going on? Well, they were saying, the Jews in those Gentile churches of Galatia were saying, "Well, you know, you're saved, but you got to be circumcised." Ah, what was circumcision? It was a work. It was a work. It would be the same as us saying, "Oh, well, but you're saved, but you can't really complete the act of salvation until you're baptized." Well, what's baptism? It's a work. It's a work of man. Salvation comes by faith. Baptism is a result of the faith. And so he's admonishing them. Why are you going back to enforcing upon a man a work? He said, "You've been so I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ." The gift of Christ. Christ was a gift to them. Christ is a gift to us. You see. Which is not another. Works is not another gospel. Works is of man. The gospel. Gospel, what does the word gospel mean? It means the good news. The good news of what? The good news of Jesus Christ. Well, there's no works in that. You see, so works in and of itself is not another gospel. And that's what he says. Which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. They pervert it. They make it a perversion. How do they make it a perversion? Well, by saying you gotta have works to go with grace. There are some today who call themselves Christian, but they say you gotta have works to go with grace. And of course, Paul dealt with that in the book of Romans, chapter 11. Either it's of works or it's of grace. If it's of grace, then it's no more works. If it's of works, then it's no more grace. You see, it can't be both. There's not a mixture of both. Every church of the Lord Jesus Christ should be built up to preach, to believe, and to instruct. As Paul preached and taught and instructed and even gave his life. Gave his life for the gospel of Jesus Christ and his church. Turn with me, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. In chapter 1. In verse 12. He said, "For the which cause I also suffer these things." Well, what's he talking about? Well, back in verse 11, he said, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things." You see, he said, because I was appointed to be a preacher, I was appointed to be an apostle, I was appointed to be a teacher unto the Gentiles, I suffer. I suffer what? I suffer in the body. I suffer in the physical body. I'm persecuted. I'm persecuted daily. Because of that witness, because of that ministry. He said, "Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." You see the faith of the Apostle Paul? You see the faith of the preacher Paul? You see the faith of the teacher Paul? It was a faith that he was persuaded, he was fully convinced. He was fully convinced in what? Fully persuaded of what? He was fully persuaded of Jesus Christ being his Savior. Being the one who called him to preach, to be an apostle, and to teach. It is the faith of God's elect. It is the faith that is common to each one that are members of Grace Baptist Church. It should be. If you don't have this kind of faith, the kind of faith that Paul, an elect of God, had, that even bore with him through his sufferings, through his persecutions, then you don't have real faith. Plain and simple. This was the faith that God gives. And he gives to all his. It is a faith that we are to be obedient unto. Turn with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts in chapter 6. And yes, we have a lot of scriptures this afternoon. Just follow along. See for yourself in the Word of God. Acts chapter 6. In verse 7. "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly." Let me break this down for you. Basically, the preaching of the word of God increased, and many were saved in Jerusalem. Multiplied. Multiplied. "And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." What does that phrase mean, obedient to the faith? Well, it means they were obedient to the word preached. The word preached convicted them. They repented of their sins and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who gave them the repentance and the faith? God did. God did. Probably probably many of these priests were present and crying for the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. They had heard the message of Jesus Christ. They had heard the words of Jesus Christ. What made the difference between there, the cross, and Acts chapter 6? The difference was God. God gave it to them. Now, when the word was preached, they were obedient to the faith. Every member of the Grace Baptist Church, I trust, have been obedient to the faith. Obedient to the faith. You've repented of your sins and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Look with me at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, and we look at another passage of Scripture here. In verse 5, by whom we have received grace, that is by the Son of God, Jesus Christ, we've received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith. In other words, he said he received grace and an apostleship because he was obedient to the faith. What if he had not been obedient to the faith? Then he wouldn't have been made an apostle. You see? And there would have been no grace. Grace is only present when repentance and faith are present. That manifests that grace has been present, that there has been a regeneration that has taken place. For obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. For obedience to the faith among all nations. So it's not only the faith that the Apostle Paul was obedient unto, but it was the faith which he manifested by his works, by taking the message of Christ into all the world, into all nations. So we have the obedience of faith unto salvation, and we have the obedience of faith because we have been saved. We continue to obey that faith. Look at chapter 16. Chapter 16 and verse 26, we have more of the same. He says, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. In other words, why was it made known to all nations? Well, somebody had been obedient to the faith. Obedience of faith. Faith creates an obedience to do the Word of God. And the Word of God has commanded, it has commanded every member of the Grace Baptist Church to go into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I trust that we are doing that, that we are actively seeking occasion and opportunity to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ of his saving grace. James had something to say about that along this lines, did he not? Turn with me to the book of James. James chapter 2 and in verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. In other words, you have faith. You say you have faith, but I say I have works. Show me thy faith, he says, without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. See, what James is promoting here is that true faith, the faith of God's elect, the faith which God has given, it works. How does it work? Galatians 5:6, works by love. If we could just get that in our hearts, listen. Christ said that the law was summed up in one word.
love. Love. Love towards God. That's our first responsibility. We can't even begin to have proper love toward our fellow man until we first have that love that God requires towards him. When we have that love towards God that he requires, then it's just natural we're going to have that love toward our fellow man that he requires of us to have. It's the same love. It's agape. It's divine love. It's love which he gives us. Not only is it a faith that we are to be obedient unto, but it is a faith that which we are to continue in. We are to continue in that. Turn with me to the book of Acts in chapter 14. Again, Acts in chapter 14. And verse 22. This was the work that Paul and Barnabas did at the conclusion of their first missionary journey. He said, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. What is he talking about? Continue in the faith. I thought, once you're saved, you're always saved. There's no chance of losing your salvation, right? There is no chance of losing your salvation. If you're truly saved, if you have true faith, there's no chance of you ever losing that. Well, then what is he talking about continuing in faith? He's talking about continuing in the manifestation of that faith, which is a work of that faith. Continue in love. Love to God and love to your fellow man. Continue to prove it.
Bye. Your life, by my life, you see. Look at chapter 11. Compare that chapter with chapter 11, verse 23. And this was a group at Antioch that had been saved, and the church at Jerusalem heard of those that had been saved, the apostles there, and they sent Barnabas down there to investigate. He said in verse 23, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, that they would remain with the Lord, that they would continue with the Lord. There again. Not that they ever have a chance of losing their salvation. But it's possible for one to fall away from following in the steps of the Lord, to fall away from his church and being obedient to the things of God. And he's admonishing them, exhorting them, that they would continue, that they would be steadfast, that they would cleave to the Lord. Jude chapter 1, and of course there's only one chapter in the book of Jude. Book of Jude 1, in verse 23. Verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Well, you should have gotten the gist by now. He's not talking about something that we have to do to keep ourselves from being lost again. He's talking about in keeping yourselves in the love of Christ, in the love of God, about continuing in obedience to the faith. Continuing in obedience. In obedience to the Word of God. And not just what you like and then disregard what you don't like. I mean, as I sit down to read the Word of God on a daily basis, a lot of times there's things in there I don't like. Why? Because it points out things that I like in the flesh that I know that ought to be there. Oh, so that's good for me, isn't it?
Because now I know what I need to work on,
what I need to get rid of, you see. So, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal.
You know the Lord's coming back? He's coming back real soon. Well, do you want to be found in disobedience? Do you want to be found away from God, not serving Him when He comes? I want to be found in obedience to everything that He wants me to do.
I don't want to be found falling away into some sin, disobedience. All disobedience is sin.
We have a tendency to classify sins. Well, this is a great big sin up here. This is not so bad. This is
way down here. This won't matter.
No.
Do we want to be found in even in the least of sin? Just a mere disobedience when He comes?
He told Moses and Aaron, because you believed me not, to sanctify me wholly unto the children of Israel, you cannot go into the promised land. They were still His, but they couldn't cross over the River Jordan, and they died in the wilderness.
You see, do we want to die in this wilderness? Die in this wilderness? No, when the Lord comes back, I want to be found faithfully serving Him. Next, it is that faith in which churches are to be established. Listen,
if it's not saving faith, then it can't be a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If the members of Grace Baptist Church have not saving faith, this is not a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostles were only to organize churches, churches of those who had received the faith. The faith. Had received the Word. By faith. Had received the Word. And then they were to baptize them. And when the church at Jerusalem got so large and persecution came upon it, they went everywhere preaching the word, and thus we find a group being saved down in Antioch. They had been obedient to the faith. Barnabas was glad when he saw that the grace of God had gone to those Gentiles.
And a church was organized under the authority of the church of Jerusalem. You see, turn with me to the book of Acts. Again, Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. You look with me at verse 5.
And so were the churches established in the faith. The churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. The churches that believe at this time was Paul and Silas. And Barnabas and Mark, John Mark, went and visited some of the churches of the first missionary journey, but set out on a new course. So we come here to verse 5 of chapter 16 and said, and so were the churches established in the faith, and increased in number daily. You see, churches were established. They were organized, and they were established in the faith. That one faith, that saving faith, that which is the faith of God's elect. And only God's elect have that faith. Everything else is mere head knowledge, heart belief. You see,
God didn't create a new heart in them. He didn't give to them repentance and faith. Then we are to stand in the same faith. 1 Corinthians
1 Corinthians chapter 16, we are to stand in that same faith. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Stand fast, stand firm, persevere, persist in the faith. Be strong, quit you like men. Come on, be men, be grown up man. That's what he's saying to us. How do we persist in the faith? How do we stand firm in the faith? By being grown-ups. By being adults. You got to get into the Word. You can't just be milk-fed. But you got to be mature Christians. In the Word. Understanding the Word of God. The Holy Spirit teaching you the deep things of the Word of God. In this same faith, we're to strive together in Philippians, the book of Philippians in chapter 1. We're admonished in verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Let your behavior, your manner of life be as it becometh, as is suitable, the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Yes, it's a striving. We're seeing it. There's not many. They're all around us. There's many people who do not believe the faith. They don't see grace. They don't see that it's all of God. They think that man has to have something to do with it. Which is works. They try to mix works with the gospel. It doesn't mix. So that it's a striving. Yes, it's a work. It's a labor. We got to be on our toes constantly with it. And then it is the faith that many are departing from. Yes, sad to say, many are departing from. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 in closing. In verse 1, he said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times. When were the latter times? Well, ever since the days of Jesus Christ, we've been in the latter times. It was happening in their day, in the apostles' day. And it's just continued to multiply down through the ages to where we are today. That in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. Not all. Not all. I don't have to be one. You don't have to be one. What's he talking about? Departing from the faith. There again, he's not talking about they lost their salvation. But they're not living so that you would know they were saved. They're given in to the ways of the world. Oh, and our churches are full of those people today. Full of those people today. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Yes, in the latter days, some will depart from the faith. But I don't need to. I don't need to be one. And you don't need to be one either. Shall we have a word of prayer in closing? Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the faith. The faith that you give to all of your elect. And thereby we know, we that have this faith, we know that we are the elect of God.
And we ought to be actively manifesting a life that shows forth that faith that you've given to us. It's a faith which works. It's a faith which is obedient to the commands of Christ. Help us to strive. Oh, though we see members and churches all around us departing, though we see churches departing, Father, help us to realize we don't have to be one. I don't have to be one that departs. Others, members of the Grace Baptist Church don't have to be ones that depart from the faith. Help us to strive. Help us to labor to keep the faith, to be obedient to the faith. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.